Unspoken words. This week's word is size. Just down the hill where I live, there's a health food shop which sells everything from organic spelt fresh bread to witch hazel deodorant. And, as it is on my way to nearly everywhere else on that side of town, as well as on my way home from nearly everywhere else on that side of town, I am easily tempted to stop by, even if I'm not sure whether I am coming or going. Today, for instance, I decided to go into that convenient healthy food store, even though I had yet to decide on what sort of healthy thing I would like to eat. I find it's best to have something in mind before going in, or else I can get lost for days, perusing the shelves of healthy things like ointments, salves, balms, pastes, defoliants, detoxifiers, powders, remedies, shampoos, pills, drops, drips, lozenges, syrups, and myriad creams I could happily take home and spread all over myself, roll on, soak in for hours, or simply leave in the cupboard with the best intentions and forget about, until someone's birthday rolls along and I can simply offload that impulsively purchased organic Wedgwood essential oil burner that came free with a twin pack of locally sourced beeswax nightlights. But today, I found myself in what may seem a surprisingly infrequent situation for a person such as myself, who sacrifices so much for their art. A person for whom the term modest is something I associate with my income rather more than my personality. A person like myself, whom on finding some money in my pocket that I could not immediately identify as being owed, borrowed, meant for something else, money which, for that brief moment as I stepped into the shop, was not allocated to bills, medicine, fuel, water, or any other real essentials, like a phone top-up, say, or a lottery scratch card. Being, for that moment, that person who, for lack of a better word, deserves to spoil themselves every once in a while. I rather grandly jangled the loose pounds in my pocket as I stepped from the hill into the health food shop and breathed deeply the scent of fresh warm bread and a small potpourri of lavender, and at this point it struck me that simply walking into this nurturing space of well-being could in itself extend my future life expectancy by a good hour or two at least. And so, while busy contemplating my longevity, I perused the shop's chalkboard hot food menu. Because it's only once inside the shop that you can see the sign describing all the different types of spelt, wheat-free, organic pasties that you can choose from. There are the usual cheese and veg, cheese and onions, steak, veg only, chili veg, all kinds of healthy pasties that you would expect to find in a health food store. But what struck me, apart from the surprise that this had not struck me before, was that this menu, this sign, not only described what pasties I could choose from, but also gave me yet one more choice to make beyond that, by which I mean, of course, size. Here it was, in multicolored chalk, the choice of scale, proportion, medium or large, both of which in themselves are approximations of quantity. Everything is something else entirely, and the truth is that in this instance, I found myself reminiscing on a theory I had read somewhere, not about health or food, or money, in fact, but to do with scale. Now, this is a naturally tenuous connection. It goes without saying, however, let me explain the thread. This theory I recalled about everything and size attempts to describe the universe as a whole. In this theory, there is a thing. I'm sorry, I can't be more precise. In fact, my first draft of the story, I referred to this thing in the theory as a thingamajig, which I shortened to thing because I worried that thingamajig might offend respected scientists working in the field, and I didn't want to look like an inept high school dropout, which is in fact what I am. Anyway, this thing that scientists are referring to is something they call dark matter, a generic term for all the stuff we can't see or measure that actually comprises most of the universe around us. In this thing theory, we can only infer the existence of dark matter if we first understand that what we can perceive of the universe is not enough. Ergo, there must be a lot more out there that we simply don't see, a lot more of everything that makes the universe possible and, in fact, what it is. In this sense, what the local pasty sign refers to with its choice between medium and large is as much what is there as what is not there, that which we cannot see, but that which we know must exist in order for everything else to exist. In this case, in order for large and medium to exist in the universe, we know their existence is dependent on being relative to a small, even if that small cannot be seen. As, for example, here in the health food shop on the menu, many pasties, several sizes, but no small. And you have to admit that it makes you think. Just two sizes seems a little incomplete. Of course, as I often remind people, size is not everything. But to have large and medium tends to beg the question, what about small? Doesn't small exist too? Because without it, the other sizes tend to lose their proportion. I mean, if it was big and bigger, that would kind of work. Or large and small. Little and large works, doesn't it? Or even normal and supersize. But large and medium doesn't work, just like medium and small doesn't work because something is missing. Just like in the thing theory, where the dark matter that makes up the rest of everything seems to be missing too. Think of comedy. You can have Laurel and Hardy. You can have the Marx Brothers, Monty Python, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, Fry and Laurie, Mitchell and Webb, the two Ronnies. You can have Abbott and Costello, but you can't just have two Stooges. You need three Stooges. You can't just have two wishes. For the story to work, you have to have three wishes. Two's company, three's a crowd. Two is yes and no. Three is where the brain starts to work, beyond the Pavlovian reflexive reptilian mind. Recognizing that there is a third option is where humans accelerated off into the sapient species we think so much of today. Sizes just aren't so good in pairs. You want to have at least three, large, medium, small, because each provides the other with a context. You can judge each size in relation to the others. Three means you can decode the ratio, the proportions that make each size up. Then, at the extremities, you can have the X's, the extra small, extra extra small, and larges too, extra large, extra extra large, extra 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 large, which you can compare to your own size, your waist, bust, neck, leg, arm, chest, head, feet, or other bits that need to wear something appropriate for the occasion every now and again. Now, this is probably one of those urban myths, but it's a story I heard somewhere. It's been said that during the Second World War, when Britain was sending supplies to the Russians to keep their peckers up on the Eastern Front, even though nobody liked Stalin, one of the supplies requested from Moscow was for a shipment of condoms. Now, Communist Russia and the Sun Never Sets Britain were allies, but hardly political bedfellows, so to speak. And when the requested shipment finally arrived, the Russians found that all the boxes of condoms were clearly marked one size only. Small. Anyway, in relation to food, it's a different story. Although there is still a waste factor, I'll give you that, and the pasties, being either medium or large, but not small, is kind of off topic. The issue at stake here is health, after all, and this was a health food shop, so there was plenty more on the menu that was not about size. Organic samosas, beautiful fresh salads, pastries, vegan cakes, and behind me were shelves of every possible alternative medicine, remedy, or cure-all, packaged in all manner of delivery systems. Vitamins, tonics, teas, pills, remedies, creams, salves, ointments, oils, pastes, gels, drops, lozenges, sprays, soaps, let alone their attendant applicators, refills, pestles, and for some reason, shoehorns. There was a sense in which one could just reach out blindly and find to hand a palliative to all of life's ills. And it was at this moment in my thoughts that the manager, Veronique, who has always been full of both the spiritual and physical positivity accrued over time through knowing and implicitly absorbing all the ancient knowledge that such an organic, healthy shop must contain. Now, over the relatively short time I'd been coming to the health food shop, Veronique had come to epitomize in my eyes the embodiment of that essentially pure energy, that practiced yogic alignment of chakras, that treating of the body like an existential temple in the belief that our souls may perfect themselves through cycles of reincarnation towards a pinnacle of nirvanic attainment through the combination of practiced healthy lifestyles and herbal supplements, a state of physical holisticness and willpower that I myself can only imagine. And so, with ordering a pasty in mind, while feeling in some way a bit foolish that perhaps I wasn't getting it with the lack of a small size in the pasty selection menu department. So instead of expressing this issue I had with the medium or large only selection, I nonchalantly asked her how she was, as you do, in a non-committal small talk sort of way. By the way, I would also like to note here that, as far as I know, there's no such thing as medium talk or large talk in the lexicon of English catchphrases. Anyway, V looked up at me with a laconic, if slightly otherworldly, smile and said, "Oh, I am so hung over." And I thought, even the purest must shed their skin every now and again, and so I, with what little maternal instinct with which a man might be blessed, I looked around, thinking that here in this health shop shrine to herbal living, there must be some exotic concoction to right Veronique's imbalance, to cleanse the body of these toxic remnants of overindulgence, right here in this shop of herbal wonders, right here in River City, right here where we stood right then, right now. I said, "Veronique, there must be something here you could take for that." And she, with a knowing half-wink, half-wince, held her steaming cup aloft and said,
"I know, you're right. Why am I drinking coffee?"
Which was when a compromising thought rushed at me. I couldn't begin to quibble about the definition of sizes with someone who looked like they were about to pop out for a spot of dialysis treatment, somebody whose kidneys might be failing even as we spoke, someone who was pouring pure caffeine into the primordial ooze that might be mutating in her intestines at this very moment. All of a sudden, being healthy in a health food shop seemed completely out of context, and the false assumptions I had of people who work in the health food industry, that they all somehow ended up being there because it's some kind of calling, like joining an order of monks or taking a vow of silence, that assumption of mine was now standing on its head, so to speak. And as I watched her squint in the sunlight speckling through the window, I thought, who am I to judge? I mean, Veronique's hangover didn't really bother me, and traditionally, monks make some of the best beer going. Anyway, with so much going on and Veronique in recovery mode, I just bought a medium cheese and veg from her colleague behind the counter. And as I left the shop to carry on down the hill, I'd managed to hear Veronique ask her colleague whether there were any more cheese and veg pasties left, to which the reply was, "No. They just sold me the last one."
"Oh, that is so unfair."
And as I hurried down the hill, I considered that sometimes the absence of a thing is far more significant in itself than whatever its size might happen to be. My name is Mac Dunlop, and thanks for listening. Bye for now.